Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show. You can hear us every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on our sister station, KLZ 560. If this is the first time you've ever joined us, I'd like to invite you to visit our website, huntingtheway.com. You can hear all of our past shows there as well, and several other articles on there. We have this spiritual checkup that my father was on a few weeks back and kind of went through that and something he uses in soul winning. I have a very clear plan of salvation posted there as well. We'd love to have you check it out. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me, scott@huntingtheway.com, and I promise you we'll get right back to you. And last week we touched on a subject that I felt we could probably do a few more shows on, and we talked about the subject of bitterness and forgiveness. And, you know, there's certainly a lot out there about this matter of forgiveness. It seems like everywhere you turn, people are saying you have to forgive, yet few people likely understand the process of true forgiving and maybe even what that truly encompasses just in our daily walk in our Christian life. And a great honor for me to have today. I've been on before, but we had a dual guest that day with Kyle McMillan, a friend of ours as well, a pastor in Seattle, but my own pastor, Clifton Miser, from First Baptist Church of Inglewood. And so, Pastor, welcome.
It's good to be here, Scott, and I think it's great that we're going to be continuing on with this subject. I heard the broadcast last week, and it was a great broadcast, and it is a subject that seems to go on, and it's really necessary that we understand this as Christians, because as a Christian, I do have an obligation to forgive, but also I think more than an obligation, it is what it does to me as a Christian when I don't forgive, and how that it hinders my Christian life, and actually the person that I'm not forgiving, it hinders their life also. And so I like the word process that you used. Mm-hmm. This is truly a process and not just an event that takes place. And probably one of the most difficult things is learning how this process works, because so many times our human emotions get involved in forgiveness and it hinders the forgiveness many times. And so learning how the process works from the Lord is very, very important to forgiving people.
And, you know, you've been in the ministry for over 30 years, so you've been involved in a lot of counseling sessions and a lot of different areas there and just dealing with people. And it's something to where, you know, I mean, this can wreck homes. It can wreck lives.
That's absolutely right, Scott.
And we look at a lot of things out there that we're, quote, worried about from the outside affecting our lives. But I'm telling you, we've seen a lot of, I think of people in my past, and again, you've been in the ministry a long time, you've seen a lot of lives wrecked just due to this.
Sure, and I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, because I wanted to begin today by giving you a real-life story, no names, of course, but a real-life story that I was involved in a counseling situation where a person had something happen to them many years before, and it wasn't their fault. They didn't cause this to happen, but they were involved in the event. And as a result of that, it just grew and grew and grew until they became an adult, and it became a root of bitterness in their heart, and so much so that it was truly affecting their lives, their daily lives, their life in church. Everything was affected by this. As a matter of fact, I would probably say it this way. Everything was being filtered through this particular event that had taken place many years before. And as a result of that, the people around them were being affected. This person was being tremendously affected in a negative way. And whenever I came across this situation, it was really at a peak. It was at a fever pitch, I guess we could say, because this person could no longer take what was going on inside of them concerning this lack of forgiveness. Now, I want to repeat once again that this was an event that this person did not cause. It wasn't their fault. And yet, because of a lack of forgiveness, it was really just eating them up on the inside. And so when I came across this, it took a long time. It took over a year of counseling to really get to the bottom of it and find a cure. And I want to give you a good note. This person today is serving the Lord with all their heart, doing a great job in the ministry. And I would just say hallelujah that the Lord gave them victory over this, because had they not gotten victory over this, it probably would have ended in more disaster and more disaster in their life, as this root of bitterness was going deeper and deeper inside.
Right. Now, we said the word process, and it is. So before you ever start a process, You have to have a true understanding of what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So from a biblical standpoint and a pastoral standpoint, start us off on this right foot of getting this whole forgiveness matter in line with what the Lord says.
Well, the Lord has a lot to say about forgiveness, but I want to deal with one specific passage in the Bible, and that's from Luke chapter 17, and it's actually at the beginning of the of Luke chapter 17. And what this passage deals with is a brother that trespasses against another brother, and the Bible says that they are to be forgiven. Now, the problem with this is many times we look at this as a numerical count, because the Lord attaches numbers to forgiveness, and sometimes we take this as if it is an ongoing thing that just goes on and on and on concerning forgiveness. But really what he's referring to here when he refers to the numbers of 70 times 7 or 7 times 7 is not that we are forgiving over and over and over again, but he's referring back to something that took place in the Old Testament, and that had to do with Israel's Sabbaths. And we're told that they had ignored 490 Sabbaths. Now, that just happens to be the exact count that Jesus is giving his disciples. And I think that they knew exactly what he was talking about when he gave them this number, because he had forgiven them even though they had committed this sin again and again and again, yet he forgave them. Now, what I've discovered in forgiveness, Scott, is that as a human being, I don't have that ability. I just do not have that ability to forgive that many times. As a matter of fact, this was such a problem during Jesus' time that there was a rule going around that you could forgive someone three times, but you didn't have to forgive them four times. And so even in their humanness, they were trying to put a limitation on forgiveness. And what the Lord is saying is not that we forgive 490 individual times. He's saying that we have to forgive the way he forgives. And that's where God takes us from our world of being a human being to his world in the supernatural, because to forgive something that is as huge as what I dealt with in the illustration I gave a few moments ago, to deal with something that big, you really have to forgive the way God forgives. And that's what he does in this passage. He tells us how to forgive the way he forgives, because I'm going to be very honest with you. After what had happened to this person in the past that I was discussing earlier, as a human being, they did not have the capacity, they did not have the ability to forgive the other person. The only way that could happen is the way the Apostle Paul described it, and that is that they could forgive because they had been forgiven. And that's what Jesus begins to deal with in Luke chapter 17. He gives two very strange illustrations that seem to have no connection to this, but in reality, they are perfectly connected to this. And the first illustration has to do with a mustard seed, and he tells us if we have the faith of a mustard seed that we could tell a tree to be plucked up and it would be cast into the sea. The second illustration is really odd in that it seems to be totally disconnected, because it's about a servant. And it talks about a servant that serves diligently and works all day long, and then when they come in, the master doesn't even say thank you. Now, in actuality, this is the process of forgiveness. The process begins with the mustard seed illustration, and what it's referring to there is a faith that grows. Because instead of dealing with the issue of forgiveness here, he begins to deal with the issue of faith. Because in reality, to be able to forgive the way God forgives, we have to have the right kind of faith in God and not ourselves. And so the mustard seed illustration is about a growing faith. There's one thing about a mustard seed, if you know anything about agriculture, whenever it's planted, it's a very small seed, but whenever it grows into a very large tree. And so what he's referring to here is a growing faith, a faith that is maturing. And if our faith is not growing and maturing, then our forgiveness will be totally inept whenever that time comes that we need to forgive. Normally what we'll do is we'll fall back on our humanness again, and we'll try really, really hard to forgive. And you've probably heard people say this, I've tried to forgive them, and I've tried to forgive them, and I just can't. And there's a reason for that, because we haven't entered into this process that God gives us in this case, which is having the right kind of faith in him, which is a growing faith in him. Now, someone may ask the question, so how do I have a growing faith? Well, the Bible's very explicit about that. It tells us the more that we know him, the more faith that we have in him. And that's not a volume of faith. That's not an amount of faith. That is the direction of our faith, which is totally and completely in Him. And as that faith grows, our focus grows upon Him, we have a greater ability to forgive. It reminds us of what Jesus did. Jesus forgave us. He forgave all our sin in the past and present and future. I don't have the ability to do that, but God does. And so when I begin to try to exercise this process of forgiveness, it really comes by focusing upon God and how God forgave me, and therefore I can forgive others. You probably heard this said, Scott, but for the grace of God, there go I. Sure. It could have been me that committed that offense instead of the other person toward me. And so the first thing I have to realize is as a human, I don't have the ability to do this. But whenever I focus upon God and my faith is in Him, then I can do this. The second part of this, which is, even as I said, a little bit stranger, is when we get to the next illustration. And that illustration is an illustration of a servant that goes out and works all day long, and he works very hard, and he comes in, and the master doesn't even say thank you. Now, that doesn't seem right. It seems like the master should be saying thank you.
Right.
But we have to understand that this is talking about God. It's Jesus telling us about forgiveness and how God handles this. You see, if I, in the ministry, if I preach and I teach and I witness and I give and I pray and I do all those things, the only reason I can do those things is because of God. It's not because I have some sort of ability. It's not because I have some sort of talent. It's because of Him. Now, I would just say as a side note that most of the books written today, even if you go in most Bible bookstores, it's all about how to do this or how to do that. And really, it's referring many times, it does point to God, but it really refers to the human side of things, in my opinion, in too great of a way. Mm-hmm. And it distracts us from where the real power is to do things like forgive, and that's in God. And so when you get to this portion of the passage, it seems a little confusing about a servant that works hard and is not thanked. But what he's saying is the only reason the servant is able to do what they do is because the master gives them the ability to do that and gives them the opportunity to do that. So when it comes to forgiveness, I have to realize something. The only way that I can forgive is because God gives me the ability to do that. Now, we discussed this just a little bit before the program started, and that was some issues that you had written down on paper about forgiveness. And I noticed that one of those issues was this, that whenever I forgive someone, that some people believe that this is just a total release and there's absolutely no responsibility after that. Nothing could be further from the truth, absolutely nothing. And the reason is when God forgives us, when we are sinners, we are sinners, and as He forgives us, as I said, He forgives us past, present, and future, but He doesn't release us from responsibility. We become more responsible than we ever have before.
And you know, you kind of automatically feel that responsibility.
Sure, there's a sense of that, yeah. that we are more responsible now. Mm-hmm. And so forgiveness is not just on the person's part that is forgiving, but it's also the person that is forgiven. And the person that is forgiven now has a responsibility. I know we discussed this other illustration in the Bible, which is the man that owed a debt. And he was forgiven of that debt. And then after he was forgiven, he went out and choked another man over his debt.
A much smaller debt.
A much smaller debt, absolutely. Yeah. And it's telling us once again that once we are forgiven, there is a responsibility there. And so it's not just a release of that person, but it's releasing them into the hand of God to become a more responsible person. And so part of my obligation in forgiveness is not just for myself, but also it's to help the other person to actually draw closer to the Lord so they can live a more responsible life and not do these offensive things that they've been doing. You know, another thing that I read on the paper that you had written down, some of the notes that you had jotted down, which I think is great, is this: forgiveness does not diminish the wrong that is done against you. This person years ago that I was dealing with was very, very afraid that if they forgave the other person, that somehow it would diminish that wrong. And it doesn't. It doesn't at all. As a matter of fact, I can forgive you. You may spend the rest of your life in prison for a crime that you've committed, but I can forgive you. Scott, probably one of the most heart-rending incidents that I've ever heard of in my life concerning forgiveness was a mother whose son was actually killed in a robbery. He wasn't committing the robbery. He was an innocent bystander, and he was killed in that robbery. A man shot him that was robbing the place, killed him, and then was caught and sent to prison. The mother stood up in a church service, and it was absolutely heartrending. She said, "The only way that I could get past this was through forgiveness." And so she was actually allowed to go to the prison and visit the man that shot her son. And she forgave him there to his face. Mm-hmm. She forgave him. Now, it didn't release him from prison, and he'll probably spend the rest of his life in prison. But she forgave him, and she began to tell him about the Lord and the Lord's forgiveness. And so she was actually walking through that process. Wow. She may not have really known she was walking through that process, but she was. At the end of her testimony, she said this. She said, "Now I have peace concerning this incident." And that's exactly what happens. The only way we can get peace concerning an incident where there's been an offense committed is when there's forgiveness. Now, like we've talked about before, that doesn't erase it out of the mind, because the mind is like a computer. It logs things that happens, and sometimes those things come back. But what happens as we know the Lord in a greater way and our faith increases, as this passage teaches us, and we're thanking God even for the difficult things that's taken place, then what happens is over a period of time, that incident that took place that so disrupted our lives begins to diminish. Mm-hmm. And so it boils down to this. It's not that incidents are not going to take place. In the first part of this passage, he assured the disciples it will take place. Offenses will come. But it's how I handle that. It's how I handle it whenever I'm offended. It's how I handle that whenever an incident takes place. And if I handle that through this process of forgiveness, it releases me, as well as not releasing the other person from responsibility, but it releases them from my anger and my vengeance and whatever I would want to do to get back at that person.
You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. Again, my guest today is my own pastor, Clifton Miser. We attend First Baptist Church of Englewood. And you know what? If you're looking for a good church home, we would certainly love to invite you to our church. We're located at 3190 South Broadway in Englewood. And our church operates Silver State Baptist Youth Camp, which some of you may have heard of over the years. But just a great, great church. We've been attending there for a little over 10 years now. And great, great people, great church, and again, we would love to extend an invitation to you. You know, I even looked up the word forgive, and it said this: to stop feeling anger toward someone who has done something wrong, to stop blaming, to stop feeling anger, to stop requiring payment, maybe money's owed, and you know, and again, so many times, and it seems the word out there is offended today that we hear so much of, in which I am totally sick of that word. But you know, it is something to where once you get into your own mind of what the Lord has forgiven you, man, how in the world can we not be willing to forgive someone else? I mean, when you just stop and think, and it shouldn't take any of us long to think back of what we've been forgiven of, and how we cannot extend that to someone else just very quickly. And, you know, you hear the phrase sometime together, forgive and forget. Sometimes that seems to be one deal. And looking around, reading around, I hadn't seen that in the Bible, forgive and forget. Okay, but forgiving, and then you let that grace take over, and you know what? Pretty soon it's a forgotten thing.
Well, you know, the forgetting part, Scott, has come from the statement that the Lord puts things as far as the east is from the west and over his shoulder and buries it in the sea. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't ever come back to the mind. Mm-hmm. What it's referring to is putting it away, putting it at a distance, in other words, so that this isn't something that is constantly hampering us and hindering us. Scott, I want to discuss something that actually took place with me back a few years ago, and I know you were in the church when this happened. I developed some health problems, and I got cancer. And when I discovered that I had cancer, actually the doctor discovered that and came in and told me this. He said, "You have cancer." Now, at first, I was so thinking in my mind that I'm so busy serving God. How can this be? And you'll remember.
I don't have time for this.
That's exactly what I said to the doctor. I can't believe today that I said that to him. But, you know, I had so many meetings scheduled in other states and so many things to do at the church. I basically just said to him, could we put off the treatments to a later date? And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, you could die from this. And it really shook me up. And I started thinking, you know, why is this happening to me right now, because I've just got too much to do. Well, I realized later on it had happened so that I could slow down and start focusing upon God more rather than all the things that I had to do and all the busy work, I guess we could call it. And so it really turned out to be a very, very good thing for me in that it slowed me down and it started focusing me upon God again. I remember a pastor called me during all this, and he said something that I thought was absolutely outstanding. I've used it many times since. He said, God can't trust everyone with suffering. And that just really resonated in my mind. And, you know, I thought about this in the light of forgiveness. And whenever we're able to handle offenses correctly, and by that I mean from a biblical perspective, sometimes things happen to us and we have to realize God allowed that to happen. Could he have stopped that? Absolutely. There's 100 things he could have done, a million things he could have done to stop that, but he allowed that to take place in my life. And possibly God allowed something to take place in my life, certainly not in every instance, but in some instances, so that I could teach someone else concerning this issue of forgiveness. And so when that pastor said to me that God can't trust everyone with suffering, I would say God can't trust everyone with forgiveness.
Sure.
And whenever we do issue this type of forgiveness, once again, it's not only good for me, but it's good for the person that's being forgiven, and we both benefit from that. Mm-hmm. It's not that we release them from responsibility. It's not that I open myself up again for the same hurt over and over again, but it is that God can use that in a powerful and a mighty way as a teaching tool.
Have you had the instance before where someone came to you and they said, hey, I went to brother so-and-so, asked him forgive me, and they said they couldn't?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you do then as you're the person that went to ask for forgiveness?
Yeah, and that is true, Scott. I mean, there are times when people are just not ready at that point, and sometimes they never will. And of course, we know what happens when that takes place. That root of bitterness goes deep, but sometimes they just will not, or they're not ready at that point. And so what I tell people is this. Maybe they're just not ready to start walking through that process yet. Maybe they need someone to teach them spiritually how to forgive. And so reapproaching that, going back at another time and attempting to go through that again with that person is a good thing. Now, as I said, sometimes people just will not. They're going to say no matter what. And when that takes place, there's really not anything you can do. You can't force them to do that. And so you just have to reconcile that with God and say, if you're the person that made the offense, then you just have to ask forgiveness from God and ask the person to forgive you. It could be that years will pass before that will take place. And we've both seen that happen where after a period of time, when someone has time to think upon it and really reflect upon it from the Lord's perspective, that God had forgiven them. And so maybe I need to forgive that person. Sometimes that's what happens and God breaks their heart. And, you know, I've seen this, Scott, I'm sure you've seen this. People who seem to have been the worst enemies wind up being the best friends through forgiveness. And it just seems like that could never happen in a lifetime. But I have seen that many times in over 30 years of pastoring, where two people were just seemed to be total enemies over an offense or something that had taken place between them years before. But through forgiveness, they became great friends and great partners in the ministry sometimes.
Right. You know, there's a quote D.L. Moody said, and he said, I'm convinced many of our prayers, and I said this last week, he said, I'm convinced many of our prayers go unanswered because we are simply unwilling to forgive someone.
Absolutely, and Scott.
You talk about a hindrance in your own life, and you think, oh, I'm getting them, but you're the one in the prison, so to speak.
Absolutely. I just heard someone say last week that not forgiving is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies.
Very true.
And that is very true, that sometimes forgiveness, we don't realize the damage that it is doing. And let me just say that I've observed this, and I'm sure you have, sometimes it does physical damage. It's not just the spiritual damage does, but people get physically sick. We're talking about aging. We're talking about mental distress and stress and Of course, we can't prove all the things that it does physically, but we have both seen people go downhill just in appearance and countenance because of this issue of not being forgiving. And so it becomes important, not just on the spiritual realm, but for our physical self also.
A couple of minutes left. What do you love about pastoring?
You know, what I love about pastoring, Scott, is that, first of all, I knew that God had called me without a shadow of a doubt. And just knowing that God did that is both humbling and satisfying at the same time, because trying to pastor without a call of God is like trying to drive a car without a steering wheel. It Sure. just doesn't work well. The second part of it is working with people. I've often said to young pastors, you might as well understand this now, that I love preaching. I love it. I love preaching in the pulpit. I love teaching. It is a number one emphasis in my life, but I love working with people. As difficult as that can be sometimes, because the Lord described us all as sheep, and we know all the ramifications of that, but I do love working with people because of this. It's not me working with them, but it's the truth of the Word of God. And to see that person changed from the truth, from being taught or being mentored or whatever it happens to be, is extremely satisfying. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you realize there's nothing in your human self that can do that. But when I see God do that, it is just it's thrilling. It really is.
Absolutely. And I mentioned our camp. Just we got another minute. Talk us about our Silver State Baptist Youth Camp and what a great ministry that's been for the church.
Sure. The camp was started in 1946 and has just a tremendous, tremendous history. And I'm talking about nationwide. We have churches all the way from Maryland to California to the southern part of Texas, et cetera, that come to the camp. And young people from all around the country come to the camp. I have observe this, just being pastor here for around 15 years now. The impact has been really worldwide. It really has. And mainly I think that's because of the emphasis of the camp. The emphasis of the camp is not sports and activities, although we have those things. The emphasis of the camp is truly teaching and preaching the Word of God. And I think because of that, it has kept things in line with the Bible. And as a result of that, we've saw some great results, not only in young people, but as you know, in your own life,
sure.
In adults. Every year we see adults saved. We see adults that surrender to the ministry, et cetera. And it's just a wonderful ministry for 9 weeks out of the summer and then other times during the year that we have other camps. It's just a wonderful, wonderful ministry. I am so thankful that many years ago, back in 1946, that Dr. Harvey Springer, who was pastoring the church, had the wisdom as well as the men of the church and the women of the church to establish the camp and build the camp. And so it's just it's a hallelujah place. It really is. And I love going up there. I know you do. And it's just a place where you can see God move in a powerful way all summer long.
Well, Pastor, thank you so much. And again, this matter of forgiveness is a big topic. And, you know, we're getting to that time of year now and then New Year's, where a lot of decisions are made on New Year's resolutions, all that type of thing. I'm telling you, if this is an area that you need to get something straight with someone, get it straight. Again, this doesn't admit that the event didn't happen. It's not from a stance of weakness, but just a chance to do the right thing and just remember what God has forgiven you. Thank you for joining us today for Hunting the Way. Be sure and check out our website, huntingtheway.com. Again, all of our past shows are there. And remember, God's way is the best way. Have a great day.